Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to today's broadcast. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick and I'll be with you for the next half hour, bringing you a special broadcast focusing on Benedict XVI's three-day apostolic visit to Lebanon, where he'll be bringing a message of peace and reconciliation to the whole of the Middle Eastern region. Well, thanks so much for joining me once again. The Holy Father touched down at Beirut's Rafik Hariri Airport on the Friday, 14th of September, on the first day of his apostolic visit to Lebanon, which marks the 24th journey abroad of his pontificate, one during which he's scheduled to sign and present the post-synodal exhortation Ecclesia in Medio Oriente, the conclusive document of the 2010 Special Assembly for the Middle East of the Synod of Bishops. A journey then during which he follows in the footsteps of two of his predecessors to the See of Peter, Paul VI and John Paul II. A fleeting presence, that of Paul VI, who made a stop over there on his way to India back in 1964, and a far longer official visit on the part of Blessed John Paul II back in May 1997. Lebanon is a nation which, following a French mandate after the fall of the Ottoman Empire, gained independence in 1920, and where, following a period of intellectual and economic ferment during which the nation was nicknamed the Switzerland of the Middle East, a decade-long war brought the country to its knees, a war which began in 1975 and ended in 1991. The scars of this war are still visible today. It's also a nation which has a very complex religious identity, as it brings together a mosaic of 18 different Christian and Muslim communities, with Beirut's Christian identity forking out into five dioceses: Maronite, Greek, Melkite, Armenian, Syriac, and Latin. But why don't we join Tracy McClure, who's currently in Beirut travelling with the Pope. She reports for us on the Holy Father's arrival in Beirut at the Rafik Hariri Airport.
He was greeted with all the fanfare and celebration you can imagine for this country, which was welcoming a Pope for the first time in 15 years. When Pope John Paul came here in 1997, he too was bringing a message of peace and reconciliation in a region struggling with conflict. Catholic patriarchs and bishops, representatives of Orthodox and Protestant churches, of other faiths, and Lebanese political leaders were on hand as the Pope's plane touched down just ahead of schedule. Young people dressed in traditional costume, yellow and white just for the occasion, handed the Holy Father a colorful spray of flowers, while youth groups in white held up signs with "Holy Father, we love you" in English and Arabic. Despite the joyful expressions of hundreds of faithful waving Vatican and Lebanese flags, there was a tangibly solemn feel to the occasion. The weight of the Pope's visit at this dramatic time for the Middle East could be seen on many a face. Speaking in Arabic, President Michel Sliman welcomed the Holy Father, saying, "You are bringing the peace of God in which all the peoples of this region believe." And he emphasized the Lebanese model of coexistence that Pope John Paul so often spoke of as a model for the whole region. Pope Benedict thanked the President for his invitation to come here, recalling the times he and Prime Minister Najib Mikati had visited him in the Vatican, and the excellent relations which have always existed between Lebanon and the Holy See. He added that his present visit seeks to contribute to strengthening those ties. But this visit is not just an official state one. Pope Benedict is also here as leader of the Catholic Church, which includes many Eastern Catholic rites, which trace their roots back 2,000 years. This visit is also in response to the invitation of the patriarchs of these churches. One of the Eastern Church's earliest saints, Saint Maron, from whom the Maronite rite takes its name, is now honored in Saint Peter's Basilica in Rome. A statue of the 5th century Syrian saint was inaugurated in 2011 at a ceremony where the Maronite Lebanese president was present himself. Saint Maron's silent presence at the side of Saint Peter's Basilica, the Pope said, is a constant reminder of Lebanon in the very place where the Apostle Peter was laid to rest.
Sa présence silencieuse au chevet de la basilique Saint-Pierre rappelle de manière permanente le Liban.
The Maronite Church represents the largest Christian community in Lebanon, and the presence of this saint in Rome witnesses to a long spiritual heritage, the Pope said, in which the Lebanese people have venerated the first of the apostles and his successors. And the Maronite patriarchs, he noted, underline this tie by adding Boutros, or Peter, to their names.
C'est pour marquer leur grande dévotion à Simon Pierre que le patriarche maronite ajoute à leur prénom celui de Boutros.
Noting the other purpose of this visit, what he called the important ecclesial event, Pope Benedict said he would be signing and handing over to the bishops of the Middle East the post-synodal apostolic exhortation Ecclesia in Medio Oriente, concluding their 2010 synod.
La signature et la remise de l'exhortation apostolique post-synodale de l'Assemblée spéciale pour le Moyen-Orient du synode des évêques Ecclesia in Medio Oriente.
Addressed to everyone, the document, he said, is a roadmap for Christians for the years to come. The Pope said by their presence today, the Catholic, Orthodox, and other religious leaders and faithful showed the esteem, cooperation, and mutual respect they wished to promote among all people. Remembering the sad and painful events along the years in Lebanon, he stressed that the successful way the Lebanese all live together surely demonstrates to the whole Middle East and to the rest of the world that cooperation and respect can coexist between Catholics and other Christians and between members of different faiths. But this equilibrium, presented everywhere as an example, he said, is extremely delicate. And in an allusion, perhaps, to the heated political rhetoric that sometimes threatens to divide Christians and Muslims, even within their own communities, he said, like a bow, this balance sometimes seems about to snap from pressures which are too often partisan, even selfish, contrary and extraneous to Lebanese harmony and gentleness. Reason, he stressed, must overcome one-sided passion in order to promote the greater good of all. And at a time when secularists the world over are calling for the marginalization or elimination of God in the public sphere, Pope Benedict stressed how important the presence of God is in the life of everyone, and how the manner of coexistence, this conviviality to which Lebanon aspires, will work only if it is founded upon a welcoming regard for the other, upon benevolence and rooted in God. Lebanon's celebrated equilibrium, he said, will persist through the goodwill and commitment of all Lebanese. Only then will it serve as a model to the inhabitants of the whole region and of the entire world. It is not just a human task, but a gift of God, to be sought with insistence, he said, preserved at all costs and consolidated with determination.
As Tracy mentions, the highlight of the Pope's first day in Lebanon on Friday was the signing of the post-synodal exhortation mentioned a moment ago.
Wearing crimson and white vestments and clearly at ease in this beautiful shrine, Pope Benedict smiled as Patriarch Laham welcomed him in German to celebrate this important event together on this feast day of the Exaltation of the Cross. Byzantine chants accompanied the ceremony in St. Paul's Basilica, which is an Eastern Rite Catholic shrine recalling an ancient Byzantine tradition and its interior layout and its richly gilded mosaics decorating the domes and apses. The basilica is part of a big mid-20th century complex, also comprising a major seminary. Upon entering here, Pope Benedict would not have failed to notice the sweeping sail-like rooftop of the Maronite-run Basilica of Our Lady of Lebanon, which stands not far behind, and where his predecessor, Pope John Paul II, famously called this country a message for the Middle East. The signing here of the apostolic exhortation Ecclesia in Medio Oriente marks a landmark moment for the Catholic Church in Lebanon, whose faithful account for a majority of Christians, who make up a little less than half of the country's 4 million inhabitants. The Greek Melkite Catholic Church and Maronite churches are just two of the 6 different ancient Eastern rites in communion with Rome that are present in the Middle East. And the patriarchs and bishops of 5 of these were present here tonight to witness the signature of this historic document, which the Pope, upon his arrival, called a roadmap for Christians for years to come. In Beirut, with Pope Benedict, I'm Tracy McClure.
And while our thanks there go to Tracy for this report, we now turn to Sean Patrick Lovett, who brings us a summary of the apostolic exhortation signed on Friday, 14th of September.
Ecclesia in Medio Oriente is about everything that is of concern to the Church and the churches in the Middle East. It's a synthesis of their hopes and fears. It's a call for peace, reconciliation, and justice, and it's filled with words of both warning and encouragement. For example, the document contains a strong call for conversion to inner peace, one linked to justice and forgiveness, and that overrides distinctions of race, sex, and class. In the chapters dedicated to dialogue, there are repeated references to the historical and spiritual links that Christians have with Jews and Muslims. It's regrettable, says Benedict XVI, how doctrinal differences have been used as a pretext by both Christians and Muslims to justify, in the name of religion, acts of intolerance, discrimination, marginalization, and persecution. The document defends the presence of Christians in the region, saying a monochromatic Middle East does not reflect its human and historical reality. It also decries a secularism that denies a citizen the right to publicly express his or her religion. Benedict XVI concludes the post-synodal apostolic exhortation by asking that political and religious authorities not only alleviate the suffering of those who live in the Middle East, but also eliminate the causes of this suffering, and do all in their power to enable peace to prevail. At the same time, he exhorts the Catholic faithful to give a courageous and common witness that is, as the document puts it, difficult but exhilarating. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
At this point, why don't we listen to Tracy McClure's interview with Pope Benedict XVI's representative in Lebanon, Apostolic Nuncio, Archbishop Gabriele Caccia, who reflects on Lebanon's role as a message of peaceful coexistence between people of different religious and cultural backgrounds.
Yesterday in Beirut there was a meeting with some Christians and Muslims coming together, praying, reflecting on the theme of the Holy Virgin in the square, who was prepared on the 25th of March as a national day for both Muslim and Christian to be united around the person of Mary. And that's the best answer the Lebanon could give to the situation around the region and in the whole world in these days.
And what are your hopes regarding the situation in Syria, which is so dramatic today?
The Holy Father intervened many times during last month and even recently on Sunday, saying, stop the violence. That's the first measure needed by the people. We can't just look at what's going on without trying to do anything. There is a humanitarian dramatic situation which need to be addressed, and the Holy Father is asking for for everybody to stop the violence and to find a way through dialogue to answer to the legitimate aspirations of people of Syria in a way which also gives guarantees to all its components for a better society. Of course, the situation in Lebanon, in Syria, depends also on the balance of powers in the region and also by the goodwill of the international community as a whole. We know that there is a new distribution of powers in this region. And so if there is no the presence of all the actors internationally, regional and locally, there will be no answer to the situation in Syria.
Pope John Paul II used to call Lebanon a message of pluralism and coexistence between people of different faiths. Yet the country has struggled with tensions remaining from its civil war years and from outside pressures. What future do you hope to see for this land of the Cedars?
The message of the Blessed John Paul II came after a long experience of division, but still was recalling the long, long traditions of Lebanon, of conviviality, of respect, of freedom. And so when he said the famous sentence, Lebanon is more than a country, it's a message both for the West and the East, he was giving the main mission of this country. And even now, Lebanon has learned from their own suffering and divisions that nobody be a winner, but everyone is a loser. That's why, even in this difficult moment in the region, Lebanon is trying to find a unity to answer positively to the situation, avoiding conflicts, divisions, disrespect for the others. I found that it's very important that Lebanon could be shown now as an example of a country where diversity and communion could have a place in society, in all level of society. I would just like to remind that the president of this country is a Christian, is the only president in the region who is Christian. The deputies and the ministers are half Christians, half Muslims. There is no discrimination for anybody in this society. That's the beauty of Lebanon. Diversity, respect, freedom, and unity.
The purpose of the Pope's visit is to deliver to the bishops of the Middle East the apostolic exhortation concluding their synod of 2010, Communion and Witness, which preceded the Arab Spring. What impact is it likely to have on a region that is so swiftly changing?
At the end of the synod, the bishop delivered the message to the people of God. And they were talking about their own experience in Rome as a new Pentecost. All knows what was the first Pentecost. And so I like to think that one of the results of the prayers, the reflections, and the days spent together in Rome was a kind of a new wind blowing in this Middle East. Of course, you can't change a situation in one day. It's a long process who has started and need to be continued. There are some worries, but there are great expectations. And I think that the Christians would play a major role and their contribution will help to build a society in which the human values are respected, human dignity, the freedom, and the possibility for everyone to contribute to the good of the society in which they live.
And you were listening there to the Apostolic Nuncio, Archbishop Gabriele Caccia, speaking to Tracy McClure in Beirut. I'd now like to paint you a picture of a pilgrimage site, a Marian hilltop shrine dedicated to Our Lady of Lebanon. That's where Tracy went to have a look at this place of pilgrimage for both Christians and Muslims who reach there from the entire Middle Eastern area and beyond. So stay tuned as Tracy speaks to some of the pilgrims she met there, beginning with Monsignor Charbel Maroon from Minneapolis, Minnesota in the United States.
Came especially for the papal visit?
We came for the papal visit. We have about 40 people that are on our tour from the United States, coming for 10 days, you know, 3 days before the Pope and a few days after, covering most of the parts of Lebanon, as well as participating with the Pope's special events and especially the main liturgy on Sunday.
What do you think will be the highlight for your group?
I believe, you know, just being in the presence of the Holy Father and just witnessing his presence in the Middle East as he is coming to proclaim peace and to bring peace to this part of the world. You know, just to declare that this part of the Holy Land is a very important, and it's a land that's been giving saints for so many years, and preservation of Christianity is most important, and the support from the West for the East is needed at this time more than ever before.
We came with Father Charbel Maroon just for this. Yes, my name is Joe Pavlovich, and I'm from Flint, Michigan.
What are you looking forward to most about this trip?
Visiting all the beautiful religious sites here in Lebanon, and going to this shrine, and we're going to other shrines around the country, and it's just going to really be wonderful.
And the icing is the Pope.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what is your name?
My name is Lily Pavlovich, and it's the first time we've ever been in Lebanon, and it's very emotional. My ancestry is here, even though I don't speak the language.
It's very beautiful.
So you come probably from a Lebanese background,
yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
From a Maronite or Eastern
Maronite.
Rite?
Maronite. Yes, yeah. And my husband's...
Maybe a Maronite subdeacon. Yes.
So this is quite emotional for both of us.
What do you think this papal visit will mean to not just the people of the Middle East and Christians here, but also to Christians like yourselves who live elsewhere with Middle Eastern roots?
Unity, harmony. That's the hope of the Pope. That's the hope of a lot of people. We suffer in silence with this diversification of religion and cultures. But the Pope brings us together.
I just climbed to the top of the Statue of Mary, and there were Muslims and Christians and all faiths up there praying.
Yeah. Mary, of course, is revered by Muslims as well as Christians.
Exactly. Right.
Did you know that here in Lebanon, the Feast of the Annunciation is a national holiday celebrated by both Christians and Muslims?
We just heard that on our tour bus, yes. So that's
wonderful. That is beautiful, yeah. That's really the hope of the future is God. No matter really what religion you are, it is God.
We're hearing a lot of noise, construction work going on. It looks like they're preparing for the Pope's arrival. I don't think they're going to be finished, but
no.
But a lot of excitement here. And what kind of messages are you going to be bringing back to the United States after this trip?
It's just how beautiful it was, and what a rare opportunity it was to see the Pope and to know that he cares about all Christians and all Catholics all throughout the world.
Unity. The spring of God. You know, they talk about the Arab Spring. How about the spring of God?
You're a tour guide, and you were just bringing a Muslim group of women up here to Our Lady of Harissa. You're Christian. What's your name?
Dalal.
Now, you were just explaining that Muslims also revere the figure of Our Lady.
They ride the cable car, and they come here to get the view. They see the statue. You know, they respect St. Mary because for them she is the mother of the Prophet Isa, the equivalent of Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you must be looking forward to Pope Benedict's visit.
It's a hope for us. That means it's safe, the country is safe.
What is the importance of Mary for people of the Muslim faith?
Mary is like mother for all humans, it's not just for Christian. She's a mother for Prophet Jesus. We believe in Jesus, and we believe in she's have a power and she have a mercy for everybody, and that's Mary.
Did you know that Pope Benedict is coming here for this weekend?
Yes,
what kind of message do you hope the Pope is bringing for both Christians and Muslims?
Just a peace. Live in peace and everybody happy.
And now we've listened to Tracy speaking to pilgrims at Harissa's Marian Shrine. Why don't we shine the spotlight on the papal press conference on flight to Beirut? Susie Hodges reports.
In a firmly established papal tradition, Pope Benedict responded to a wide range of questions put to him by journalists during his flight to Lebanon. Referring to the conflict in Syria, the Pope said he believed there must be an end to the import of arms, saying without weapons, war could not continue. Instead of importing weapons, which is a grave sin, he continued, we should import ideas, peace and creativity. We should accept others in their diversity and make visible the mutual respect of religions. Pope Benedict also made clear that no one ever advised him to renounce this trip to Lebanon and added that personally he had never considered this. He described the aim of his visit as an invitation to dialogue, to peace and against violence, to go forward together to find solutions to the problems in the region. Answering a question about the Arab Spring, Pope Benedict said that in itself the Arab Spring is a positive thing, a desire for greater democracy, more liberty, more cooperation and a new Arab identity. He noted that this cry for liberty, which comes from a more educated young population that wants greater participation in political and social life, is positive progress, which has been hailed by Christians as well. But at the same time, he warned that past experience of revolutions teaches us that this vital and positive cry for freedom risks forgetting one aspect, a fundamental dimension for freedom, which is tolerance of the other. The Pope added, we must do all we can so that this desire for freedom does not forget tolerance and reconciliation. When asked about Christians' fears of growing fundamentalism and targeted attacks against them, the Pope said fundamentalism is always a falsification of religion. And the basic message of religion, he said, must be against violence. I'm Susie Hodges.
That brings me up to time, but be sure to tune in again at this same time over the next few days, as Tracy McClure will be reporting on some of the highlights of the Pope's visit. Naturally, the Holy Mass on Sunday against the backdrop of the city waterfront, the one of our pilgrims mentioned a moment ago, and on Saturday an encounter with the Lebanese president and government representatives, followed by a dedicated moment with young people who will be reaching the Maronite Patriarchate from right across the region to meet with the Holy Father. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to the English programme of Vatican Radio. Laudetur Jesus Christus.
If you have an Android smartphone, visit our website and download Vatican Radio's first app. It's free. Go to www.radiovaticana.va and click on the icon in the upper right-hand corner. The version for iPhone and iPad is coming soon.